name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been created has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 144, the Sacrament of Penance. In the image at the top, we see our Lord surrounded by the apostles. I'll just read the caption because I think it explains the picture very well. The picture shows our Lord instituting the Sacrament of Penance on the first Easter Sunday night. He breathed on the apostles and said, quote, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." From St. John chapter 20, verse 23. Our Lord had previously promised Peter the right to forgive sins, saying, quote, "And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. First question for our lesson, what is the Sacrament of Penance? The Sacrament of Penance is the sacrament by which sins committed after baptism are forgiven through the absolution of the priest. Penance has three essentials. Penance has the three essentials of a sacrament. A, or the first one, it is a sensible sign, that is, words of absolution and the external act of the confession. Our Lord promised to give Peter the power to forgive sins, saying to him, quote, "And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Christ later made the same promise to the other apostles, saying, quote, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed also in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. It was so the sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. So the second essential of the sacrament, it was instituted by Jesus Christ on the first Easter Sunday night. On the first Easter Sunday night, our Lord fulfilled His promise to give His apostles the power to forgive sins. Jesus appeared to His apostles and said, quote, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you," end quote. When He had said this, He breathed upon them and said to them, quote, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." From St. John, chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. The third point, it confers grace. So we have the outward sign, it was instituted by Christ, and it gives grace. It is the way by which after baptism sanctifying grace is restored to the penitent who has committed mortal sin. It increases this grace in the penitent who already possesses it. It also gives actual grace. When one cannot go to confession, then he should make an act of perfect contrition at once for his sins' forgiveness. The priest forgives sins with the words, quote, "I absolve thee from thy sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." This is called the absolution, and is said by the priest over the penitent with uplifted hand when he forgives the sins confessed. It is pronounced while the penitent is saying an act of contrition. On the part of the penitent, the sacrament of penance includes three distinct acts: contrition or sorrow for his sins, confession or telling them to the priest, C, satisfaction or performance of the penance imposed by the priest. A penitent is absolved if he confesses his sins with sorrow and a resolution to atone for them and amend his life. Why must we receive the sacrament of penance? We must receive the sacrament of penance because our Lord Jesus Christ commanded it when he said to the apostles and to their successors in the priesthood, quote, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Quote, is anyone among you sick? Let him bring in the presbyters of the church, and let them pray over him. And if he be in his sins, they shall be forgiven him. St. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. The power to forgive sins was not given to the apostles alone, but also to their successors, the bishops and priests of the church, until the end of time. The forgiveness of sins was surely not granted only to those people living at the time of the apostles, but for all who, to the end of the world, should need forgiveness. These words of Christ oblige us to confess our sins, because the priest cannot know whether he should forgive or retain our sins unless we tell them to him. In order to be able to give a just decision, the priest must know the facts of each case. Thus, the penitent must tell his sins. He is his own accuser and his own witness. Even in a civil court, the judge makes no decision without knowing the facts of the case. A trial is conducted with accusers and witnesses against the person accused. The priest is the judge, and he must learn from the penitent himself whether he should give absolution and what would be a just penance to impose. The Church commands us to confess at least once a year. All Catholics, including the Pope, cardinals, bishops, etc., are subject to this law. Good Catholics confess at least once a month or even once a week. If we are so unfortunate as to have committed a mortal sin, we should go to confession at once. What would you think of a person who met with an accident at New Year and in his near death if he says, "No, do not call the doctor. I will go to him at Easter." The practice of confessing to a priest has been continuous in the Church from the time of the Apostles. We read in Holy Scripture that in the time of the Apostles, the Christian converts came to them and openly confessed their practices. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 18. In the writings of the fathers and doctors of the Church, in the very first centuries of the Christian era, the faithful are often advised and exhorted to confess their sins. St. Augustine says, quote, "It is not enough that one acknowledge his sins to God, from whom nothing is hidden. He must also confess them to a priest, God's representative." End quote. St. John said in encouragement, quote, "My dear children, these things I write to you in order that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the just." From St. John, or excuse me, First Epistle of St. John, chapter 2, verse 1. Can all priests administer the sacrament of penance? No. Only those priests authorized to do so can administer the sacrament of penance. The bishop gives authority, called the faculties, to hear confessions in his diocese. Certain grave sins are reserved to the pope or the bishop for absolution. These are called reserved cases, as when one joins masonry, gets married before a non-Catholic minister, or desecrates a sacred host. A priest authorized in one diocese must get the faculties in order to hear confessions in any other diocese. Priests are like civil magistrates who cannot pass sentence on all cases, but only on those for which they have jurisdiction. Every Catholic priest, however, even if suspended or excommunicated, has power to absolve all the sins of a dying person. That concludes our reading for this lesson. Do we have any questions or comments?
Yes.
else to say here. I believe that many of the catechisms, there were actually five steps that the children were taught to memorize to make a good confession. Here they only list, I think it was three, but they basically are all included there. The examination of conscience, we teach the little children to think of my sins, to be sorry for my sins, and then of course to confess my sins to the priest, do the penance that the priest has given me. So we have basically the same thing, just broken down, I think, into smaller steps for the children to understand. There are plenty of, examination cards or cards to help us in our examination. And generally, at least when I've been asked for assistance, when someone needs help, I just simply go through the Ten Commandments and the Six Laws of the Church. And if we can get through those, it's generally enough. I don't think that we currently really have enough time to have confessions the way they were intended, because we're in a rush, because generally we're hearing confessions on a Sunday morning right before Mass, and time becomes of the essence so that everyone can get to confession. And of course, if you're going to confession on a regular basis, it doesn't really require a lot of time, because the confessor is familiar with the circumstances and there's really not much to be discussed or answered. But the penitent should not hesitate to ask for clarifications or to ask a question of the confessor. But if it is really in a pressing time, before Mass, and there are other people wishing to go to confession, the priest will probably say, can we discuss this outside of confession or at another time? Because we are pressed for time usually to get the confessions through so that we can begin Mass on time. The priest is there to help us, not really to abuse us, to insult us, or to make us feel bad, but the priest is there to forgive in the name of Christ, and so we should not be ashamed to bear our soul to the priest. He's not there to condemn us, to look down upon us, but he's there to try and help us find a path back to Christ or a path to heal the wounds that we've inflicted on our soul by our own sins. And again, not every priest is authorized to hear confessions, and I often wonder whether many of those who call themselves priests are actually priests at all, so we should be careful and examine the priest that we're going to go to confession to make sure that, first of all, he's a valid priest, and then that he has been approved by the ordinary, the bishop of the diocese, which I find is something that is ignored by most traditionalists. They don't care about the jurisdiction or the faculties, whether the priest has them or not. And of course, they will also look and say, well, at the time of death and emergency, any priest can absolve. I said, well, any valid priest can absolve in this time of death or emergency, but are you really at the point of death or emergency every single Sunday, week after week after week? And of course, they will turn around and argue that perhaps we are spiritually at the point of death. We're in constant threat of death spiritually because of the world in which we live and whatever. I don't want to really get into that too much. It seems very hypocritical to me. And it is really a difficult way for them to try and justify their position of ignoring the bishops, the diocese, the order of the church, and to really act as Protestants and do whatever it is they want to do whenever, wherever, without any having to answer to any higher authority. And yes, there are reserved sins, even though the priest could forgive us those sins if we were at the point of death. There are sins that every priest knows I don't have authorization to absolve. If you confess that sin to a priest without the faculties, he's obliged to inform you that he does not have the faculties to absolve you and to tell you what steps you need to take to receive absolution. No other questions, we'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.